Mr. Byrd?
May it please the court, Mr. Peterson, Mr. Bindi, your honors, good morning. My name is Mark Byrd and I represent the defendant, Luis Gonzalez, in this appeal. Mr. Gonzalez received a sentence of 276 months in the Federal Bureau of Prisons, or in other words, 23 years for his conspiracy conviction to possess with intent to distribute in excess of 100 kilograms of marijuana. We have one issue before the court on appeal, and that is whether or not the judge, the district court, in sentencing the defendant and denying his motion for a sentencing variance under United States versus Booker, and sentencing him to a period of 23 years in this case, constitutes plain error in light of the Booker case and this court's precedents. Before the district judge, we offered three arguments, and those are essentially the three arguments that we offer in front of your honors in support of a finding that there was, in fact, plain error and vacation of this defendant's sentence. The first argument is that we presented to the district court and we present today is that the defendant should have received a consideration and a departure from the guideline range due to United States Sentencing Guideline 5K1.1 for his efforts to provide substantial assistance to authorities. The second argument that we're presenting is under Section United States Sentencing Guidelines Section 5K2.12 for an imperfect defense of coercion. And finally, it was our position in the district court and on appeal, Your Honors, that under Section 4A1.3B, the defendant's criminal history in this case drastically overstated the seriousness of his actual criminal history. And for those reasons, we're asking the court to find that the 23-year sentence in this case was, in fact, plain error. As we pointed out to the district court, and before I go into the individual factors, there's no question in this case that the district court did in fact consider all three of our arguments.
What was unreasonable in your view as to what the district court said? Not that you disagree, but what did he do that was unreasonable?
Well, Your Honor, starting with Section 4A1.3B, in this situation we had a defendant who in effect throughout his criminal history had no crimes of violence whatsoever, no weapons offenses whatsoever, and all of his past criminal conduct seemed to be traffic in nature or involvement with marijuana. He had several prior...
Presumably reasonable if it is within the guidelines?
It is presumptively reasonable, Your Honor, and this is Mr. Gonzalez's effort to try to rebut that presumption. Given the fact that all of his criminal history lacked any violent history or any firearms offenses or any involvement with any narcotics or Schedule I substances that you would typically consider to be far more serious in nature than marijuana, it was our position that for him to be sentenced as a career offender and be at a guideline range of 34 with a sentencing range of 262 to 327.
Judge accepted that argument. Wouldn't he be arguing with Congress, really? Congress that thinks that marijuana, you know, is a big deal. It doesn't have to be you don't have to be violent. You can be a major drug dealer who avoids violence. You're still committing what Congress regards as serious crime. So what's the judge say? I don't think marijuana is...
Well, Your Honor, all offenses that Congress have deemed to be criminal offenses is are arguably serious in nature, but in the
panoply... It's unreasonable for a judge to consider this long career of drug dealing to be serious and deserving of a sentence within the guidelines range.
Well, when applied to the 3553 factors that the court's required to consider, I guess our position is that it is possible for the sentence, for a sentence that's far less than 23 years in this case, to still adequately reflect the seriousness of the offense, to afford adequate deterrence, and to protect the public from further crimes of the defendant. There's no question in this case that the defendant was a recidivist, but again, based upon the lack of any violent criminal history, and again, I hate to make the argument, I'm sorry?
How old is he?
He was in his late 40s, Your Honor, when he, assuming full application of good time, he'll be in his late 60s when he's released. In addition to the 23 years, there was an additional 24-month sentence consecutive for violating his mandatory supervised release on his earlier Nebraska conviction that he was serving supervised release on at the time of this offense. With respect to Section 5K2.12, which was the imperfect defense of coercion, the defendant offered by way of proffer to the district court judge the fact that once he was released from that Nebraska conviction and was on mandatory supervised release, and it's the most natural of occurrences, as that offense in Nebraska involved approximately 1,000 pounds of marijuana, his suppliers sought him out and basically, according to the defendant, coerced him into working that debt off. They perceived it as a $500,000 debt that was owed, which was the approximate street value of the 1,000 pounds of marijuana that was lost as a result of his arrest in Nebraska. And
suggest to the judge what you thought a reasonable sentence would be?
Well, Your Honor, I didn't particularly suggest a number, but I would note that but for the provisions of the career criminal statute, this defendant would have been a criminal history category 4 and a level 27, which would have made his sentencing range 100 to 125 months.
What's the extraordinary assistance that he gave to the government?
What he did, Your Honor, is in addition to giving a full confession in this case and going through a full proffer with the United States of his involvement as well as the involvement of his co-defendants, he provided information regarding a double homicide in Odessa, Texas that he was aware of, a solicitation of a murder for hire while he was serving his sentence at FCI Tucson on the prior Nebraska charge. In addition, he provided information regarding his suppliers and the location of where they were keeping the marijuana at the time that he was dealing directly with them, as well as providing a cellmate letter that happened to come into his possession.
Did the government have some of this information as well?
Did he just
confirm it, or was it new, fresh information?
I believe it was fresh information. Unfortunately, obviously the proffer as to the subject conviction, they had enough evidence to go forward with the prosecution. He simply filled in the gaps and explained how everything went down leading up to their arrest.
I think 8 years, so you say 100 months, that would be an absurd sentence to give him. Right, he'd come right out after 7 or 8 years and go back into the marijuana business.
Well, Your Honor, I would note in the Nebraska conviction, which involved over three times the amount of cannabis as in this offense, he received a sentence of 188 months, and he was deemed a career criminal in that sentencing as well. Then by virtue of his cooperation with the government, a Rule 35 motion was made that effectively cut that sentence in half. So you have a situation where this defendant, in the lengthiest sentence that he has served, was approximately eight and a half years.
He serves those sentences, then he comes out, and then he goes back into the marijuana business.
But then in evaluating, Your Honor, that's correct. There's no question about that.
If you got another eight-year sentence, he'd still be, in his 50s.
Well, if the coercive elements were present, that's always a possibility. The judge discounted the coercive elements.
Coercion doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's ridiculous. You can't have a situation like that. If you're being coerced by criminals, you go to the police. Say, I'm being coerced by these bums, and I want you to get them off my back.
And that's what made it an imperfect.
Why, it never stops, right? It never stops.
And Your Honor's position is likely what a jury would have concluded, which is why this would be an imperfect defense of coercion, in addition to hearing that the defendant is a prior.
It's not imperfect. It's phony.
Well, Your Honor, it's the most natural thing in the world to believe that drug suppliers go after individuals who lose.
Go to the FBI, the DEA. Right? They'll pay you for turning these people in.
But they also have families, Your Honor, and this defendant has two young daughters, a mother, and the individuals that he was involved with were aware of their existence and their location. The district court, I would note, recognized and assumed that there was, in fact, some degree of coercion. It was also apparent with the co-defendant, Sandra Hernandez, after the marijuana was ditched by her in a cornfield in Missouri on her way back from Las Cruces, New Mexico. She received threats, and those were noted and recognized by the district court as well. It's the most natural thing in the world to expect that somebody who believes you owe them $500,000, and these are not nice guys.
It's so phony that, of course, the way to succeed in this business is to not pay your debts, then you're coerced, then if you get caught, you get your sentence cut.
Well, Your Honor, we respectfully submit that...
This is not a way to enforce the drug laws.
Well, Your Honor, it doesn't give him a walk. It just would be a consideration that the district court could utilize.
Sure, of course, he hopes not to be caught. He hopes to have a long run making money.
Naturally.
If he's caught again. But if he is caught, he likes to think that he could have a light sentence because he's been being coerced.
It's simply a consideration that's offered, Your Honor, and along with all of the other considerations.
You say it's unreasonable, this sentence. You may disagree. You may not like the marijuana law. I don't see any basis for suggesting it's unreasonable.
Well, one of the 3553 factors, Your Honor, is the proportionality of the sentence to other individuals. And I would note that in most of the cases that I see as well.
Did you put in some systematic evidence about proportionality to the judge?
No, Your Honor. There was.
Then it's just empty talk.
Except you can look at it with this defendant's own prior conviction in Nebraska, which was, again, three times the amount of controlled substance, same criminal history as a career offender.
One judge's sentence controlling subsequent judges' sentences of the same person, right? You get a lenient judge, give them a light sentence, then for the rest of his criminal career, which is lengthy, he keeps pointing to that, says, well, that judge gave me a light sentence. You've got to give me a light sentence, too, otherwise you're sentencing me disproportionately.
Well, no, Your Honor, it's not that. You'd asked if there was any data presented.
Persuasive arguments.
I'm sorry?
It is extremely unpersuasive.
Well, Your Honor, that being said, if there are no further questions.
Case, you know, like Hernandez.
I'm sorry?
Would have been a good Anders case.
Well, Your Honor, unfortunately, the state of the law allows...
No, the state of the law is clear. Can only reverse a guideline sentence if it's unreasonable. And there's a big difference between what is unreasonable and what is a different penal philosophy. And there isn't any basis for calling the sentence unreasonable.
Well, Your Honor, with all due respect, we still submit the brief and argument as suggested. And I would just note that for an individual in his late 40s who receives a 23-year sentence, they're always going to avail themselves of this opportunity. With that being said, then, I have nothing further. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Byrd. Mr. Peterson?
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Joseph Peterson on behalf of the United States. Our position is that the district court's sentence was reasonable. The court, as the record demonstrates, considered all the factors set forth in Section 3553A of 18 United States Code. And after considering all the arguments of the defendant for a sentence outside that guideline range, properly sentenced the defendant within the guideline range. The court, as the record shows, examined each of the arguments that counsel has brought forth here today and considered them and rejected them. And for all of those reasons, Your Honor, we would respectfully request that the court affirm the sentence of the district court.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Peterson, and thank you, Mr. Byrd. You were appointed, were you not? Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. Next case for argument.